And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Lost Podcast of Titan, a father and son journey through sci-fi series that unite our generations. And today, we are doing episode 2 of The Menagerie. It's a two-parter. I bet you were waiting in breathless anticipation for the continuation. You hoped we were going to do it all in one shot. No, I have work. I am also hungry at the end of these episodes.
Besides, we wanted to extend a dramatic moment.
That's right. Yes, we were at a cliffhanger, you know. Was Spock going to change the channel at the end of the trial to, like, you know, he's got bored in his own defense. I still don't understand why he's not, like, captain. Since Captain Pike, the slaving bastard, is a pepperoni pizza in a wheelchair. I was going to take him to the zoo so he could live out the rest of his life in some relative comfort. But apparently, no, we're just going to be, you know, going through this charade of reusing the very expensive footage from a pilot.
That would have been too simple. That would have been too... Would you have thought of... Well, I guess that is a sensible story, but yeah.
Yes, it's a sensible story.
We had to make a long way around.
One might say it was logical.
Logical, yes.
Oh, God. But, I mean, it was interesting to, you know, I mean, I saw the cage, so I don't think I get the full impact of the menagerie.
Really?
Yeah, I mean.
Using it in a framing, with a framing story set in the current series, didn't enhance the episode for you, or it's not enhancing the episode for you?
No, I'd rather go back to the cage.
Oh.
Because then we have, because it's more logical that way, you see.
Oh.
Instead of Spock going, let's watch all these pre-recorded footage from angles that are very strange. Like who's in the captain's quarters recording a private conversation?
And everyone later on goes back to their private quarters and they immediately start searching for cameras.
Exactly, yes. Oh. But go ahead and get yourself started on the streaming or media device you have that you prefer. Get to the 00 mark for the menagerie. Pause us and come back to us. Welcome back. We'll go ahead and start this in 3, 2, 1, play.
As you remember from last time.
Oh, are we going to do a recap? Guilty. He looks so excited.
Well, not much of a range of
experience. 4 years of acting school, 2 years of tap, 3 of ballroom. And now he's just sort of staring off from in the chair. This is fantastic. It's good work if you can get it. It's like the villain from the Saw movies. It's like he lays down for most of the movies and occasionally will lift himself up and give a raspy, how do you enjoy life now? Is it not alive? And dies until he comes back the next movie.
From what I read, these court-martial proceedings are supposed to be a closed session. Surely the people on the Enterprise, the regular crew, have an idea of what's going on, and this is a major point of conversation among themselves.
Subspace chatter, you mean?
Well, just within the ship.
Oh, I know. I was referring to the last episode with the space subspace chatter. Oh. Oh, okay, so it is coming from Talos 4.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
We must have been talking or something during the explanation given last time. But that's half the story right there. Come out with the whole...
Excuse me.
The other half of the story.
Yeah.
Can you just next week for the rest of the transmission?
Da-da.
Well, as recaps go, I've seen better.
Oh God, yes. Like all my issues really with Star Trek, at least so far in the original series, is more of, oh, this is a really shitty Star Trek episode. Which is already on a different level than most TV. I mean, it could be worse. We could be watching Lost in Space or Battlestar Galactica, you know?
Last week, our intrepid band of space pioneers, Dr. Smith had once again caused some trouble, and everyone else was going to laugh it off as usual.
Oh, he almost raped my daughter.
He wouldn't have laid a hand on Penny. Now, Judy.
Well, maybe. that's not the appendage he was thinking of.
Yuck! I wonder if they've got a crew person leaning up against the door on the other side with their ear to the door.
I thought that, like, it would. Well, maybe it's a good point.
Well, they've got cameras everywhere else on the ship. They hacked into the system and are watching this in the recreation rooms and such.
Keeper also took control of the yes, no.
That would have been simple. So most of the cage ends up in this episode.
Oh, yeah. One would hope, anyway.
And Shatner and Nemo and the others are picking up a full paycheck for just being part of the audience.
Listen, it's a horrible job.
Pity the working man.
No, but it was like when the actor who played Michael Garibaldi got shot in the back in Babylon 5. Spoiler. But... where he was spending like 3 or 4 episodes in med bay. Just they would sometimes go back to him and pan over him slowly. That was it. That was his full paycheck. It was the best work he got in like I love the commentary on that episodes. Cause he would just start cackling maniacally every time he showed up on screen because he got paid.
Apparently, when you're a highly telepathic species that's been stuck underground for apparently thousands of years, you also lose a sense of fashion and individuality in clothing, unless that's a standard uniform for those people who work in the caves, if you call it work.
What if they're so advanced mentally that they're not even really perceiving themselves physically? Like, it's very simple clothing. It's probably very utilitarian, just, you know, keep their bodies, warm, protected a little bit. And that's really it. Like, you see what's-his-face with the necklace. You know, it's just, this is the mark of authority. So that's really all they pay attention to.
Okay.
There's not. What kind of bullshit is this? There's a way out of any cage. No.
You're stuck.
Yeah. Also, was it really an experiment? I didn't think it was more of a breeding program. Right?
Well, they've been experimenting with different species, trying to find one that would suit their purposes.
Oh. That's a thought. Okay. All right.
Isn't there an empty chair there? Can't Yeoman Colt sit down somewhere? She just likes to stand.
She's not allowed to sit with the officers.
Oh, okay. That's the big boys' table.
Apparently, yeah. And they're reading it right now, so they know you're thinking about it. So
while you're holding that big ballpoint pen. That yep. You got at the Federation version of the Dollar General store. Calm down, Fido.
Yeah, I like that they kept her as number one.
Yes.
Like, they could have done some very careful editing and had it so that one of the other men, you know, was number one.
So you think that if Roddenberry and his production crew had just gone back and tweaked the pilot episode a bit, they might have had a stronger chance of selling this, getting rid of, like, the female number one and getting rid of Spock, like what the producers wanted?
I'm fairly certain there were assholes in charge who saw that and were like, smoking cigars, that sort of thing. And played up the vampiness of trying to get him to breed, you know, that sort of thing.
I think if some incredible system of circumstances, which I cannot even begin to imagine, if I ever became a CEO at a major production company, I think I'll put a sign on my door saying asshole in charge.
Or you send notes to the producers of your shows, to the showrunners, and going, man, tits. I mean, like, if you're going to be a big producer, you got to have a little fun with it.
Exactly. I don't think these people have too much fun. They're all in for the power.
Exactly.
They don't sit back and have some laughs.
Yeah. So they saw that, and they saw that there's a woman who was second in command of a major starship with Wagon in the Stars. So it was pitched as the Western in space. And all they saw was, well, you can't have Annie Oakley. As cool as Annie Oakley is, you can't have her second in command of the wagon train. That's just not how it's done. That's silly.
I know. Well, it was the 60s.
It was the 60s.
And they were once again trying to sell this to the Deep South, which, in my opinion, overly dominated a lot of television production thought back then.
The stupidest thing. So, yeah. Stupid ass.
Honey, I'm going to handle this. You just stand over there. You attack while it's not looking.
I came from an advanced civilization that had hand phasers.
That brings up another thought. He ended up on that planet unarmed. Because this is the recent memory for him. He was really broken up over what happened on that planet. He didn't have any phasers or anything with him?
That's what I said. Like, this dumbass beamed down to a violent planet with no defense. Apparently alone as well. Also, you want the spear, not the mace. He has reach on you. You want the spear, not the mace. You want the spear. The spear behind you. Not the God damn you, son of a bitch. The spear. There's a spear. Stop. He's just going to crunch you.
King's X while I go put down the shield and the mace and get the spear.
Finally. Oh my God. He's not a brilliant tactician.
Oh, he's no James Kirk, that's for certain. Hey, he's picked up the executive the
producer. Oh, that's the executive producer. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he's reaching for the woman, grabbing her, so that's definitely an executive producer.
Oh, there we go. So good.
Ow. And she's proving that mace isn't doing a whole hell of a lot of good.
Yeah.
And neither did that move.
But yeah, so Pike was broken up because he came down here and, you know, things went bad. everything could have been solved with a single hand phaser. Fuck him. No wonder Kirk is in charge.
Yeah.
He probably sent in his report of what happened to Starfleet, and Starfleet was like, you have got to be shitting me.
They couched it in very official navalese language.
Oh no, fuck that. If I was the admiral in charge, I would just write back, you have got to be shitting me. You are relieved of command. Number one is in charge. We're going to send Kirk.
Try me.
Wait, isn't he fake?
They don't know it.
So then why is he... why isn't he, you know, we should watch the rest of the transmission?
That's a good question. The Talosians apparently are much more subtle.
Or they're just having fun because they're the producers of this drama here.
They're having fun. It's also got to be kind of boring being a Talosian.
Dude, you don't have to spread your legs like that to stand at attention. No one's going to run to do a run tackle on you, okay?
And now the door's closed, and he's going to sneak up to the door and put his ear against it. And...
a little glass.
That's all right. I mean, she could have... She's really blowing her part of the conversation here. That's not helping. They dropped the possibility here. She could have said, I could wear anything you wish or nothing if you wish.
Yeah.
Yes, a major role in a major motion picture.
Papa's cold. Holy shit. She's a very lovely young girl.
Yeah, no,
who's
yeah,
trying very hard, and she's doing her best with what she's been given.
I shouldn't rag on Susan Oliver. I actually like her very much.
You should apologize to her.
I'm sorry, Susan.
We love you very much, Susan.
That's right. We even loved you in the monitors, which had a bad script considering the source material.
This is the recurring theme for most shit produced in the 60s and 70s.
Unfortunately, Miss Oliver has passed away, so... I'll have to send my apologies up in a prayer.
Well, if you would like to tell us how much you like Miss Oliver, you can let us know at lostpodcastoftitan@gmail.com. Or if you're a Talosian wanting to talk about your zoo prospects, you'd like two extra males, you can reach us at lostpodcastoftitan@gmail.com.
Or if you're a fan of Majel Barrett as number one, you can let us know.
Where can they let us know, Papa?
Oh, at lostpodcastoftitan@gmail.com.
There we go.
is that Lost Podcast or The Lost Podcast?
It's lostpodcastoftitan@gmail.com because I'm an idiot.
And if you want to let Jeremiah know how big an idiot he is,
you can let us know.
lostpodcastoftitan@gmail.com.
Oh, Lord.
I think we got the message across.
Yes. So I would like to say, I don't think the Talosians have the power to swat the ship like a fly, because if they did, they would have been able to just simply block this phaser.
No, I think they're letting them try the phaser, because otherwise the crew of the Enterprise would get suspicious much faster.
What I mean is, there's the mountain isn't there anymore. Like, this is an illusion.
Right.
It would have been easier for them to provide this sort of an illusion and leave the mountain intact. If they were able to block the phaser, I mean.
For that matter, if their power was so great, they could have just had everyone on the Enterprise lie down unconscious while the experiment was going on the surface.
Yeah. Or make the illusion of the control panel off to the side so they're not actually activating the phaser.
That's true.
That's right. I remember the first time we did this episode, we were going really down deep into like what really is an illusion right at this moment. Yeah.
The whole cage could be an illusion.
Yeah, that's right. Like it never was. Yeah.
Could be an illusion.
Exactly. Yeah. You think they would be able to seed the planet above? It would take less than thousands of centuries, which would be, you know,
if the soil was dead and needed thousands of centuries to become viable once again, it was not that easy.
Yeah, that's 100,000 years at least. So, you know, they could have done a small patch of ground, at least. Attention. Who are you talking to?
Maybe even more so.
There you go, yeah.
I don't think she had to be as obvious as that. And I don't think it was necessary to punish her. It's not her fault.
It isn't. Like, also bear in mind, by the time this episode is, you know, ended, the Talosians aren't really the bad guys. And I'm like, what? Like, Spock knew this happened, knows the Talosians punish and do this shit. And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll take the... Oh.
Are you sure that he knows that all this happened? Maybe this is as new to Spock as it is to everyone else in the room.
Well, then why aren't they turning around? Oh, because Pike is an asshole and deserves it. Got it. Okay, cool. Boom.
McCoy isn't there. I wonder if he's monitoring the chair systems from sickbay.
Boy is like, he's in the medical quarters drinking some Saurian brandy, like, haha, I'm the doctor now, motherfucker. They do all this to people on the surface too, like, you know,
drive them off the planet and back onto the ship. That is, if they actually had beamed down to the planet.
So what if this actually is a horror film? Like, the Talosians haven't changed.
How do you mean they haven't changed?
Well, they still have their zoo.
Do they still have their zoo, or by the time the Enterprise shows up now, have they? Then again, I don't know. Do they have any method of transporting the rest of their specimens? Are the specimens still down there in the caverns? First, the Tranya.
That kind of guy. Have a drink? Go to the female.
Did the ship crash on the planet, or did the Talosians force it down?
I don't see why they would have to lie at that point.
True. Okay. I don't think they had to go that far out of their way. I mean, she looked rather nice.
Yeah. So,
are you seeing these glitches in the broadcast?
Glitches in the broadcast? What glitches in the broadcast?
Well, sometimes the screen goes gray on me for less than a second.
That might be the stream.
Okay.
Like,
those of you who are watching this on a great big, super expensive wall screen and crystal quality, just ignore us.
Oh, well, then again, maybe I did see it turn gray. I don't know. But yeah, so it's a zoo. There's still going to be, you know, specimens, quote unquote. And Spock is willingly taking Captain to it.
Well, clumsily taking Captain Pike to it.
Let's say that Spock has actually, you know, been mind altered. The Talosians have basically put in
a suggestion into like his mind.
Yeah, which violates logic.
Well, it doesn't violate logic. It's just, you know, being sneaky on their part.
Well, yes, he's making them watch TV instead of explaining. That violates logic. And
actually, I would rather watch the footage than listen. I mean, Spock's a nice person, but I would rather watch the images than listen to Spock's explanation. This is
because she's very nice and lovely, as we both agreed.
They're all humans in the briefing room, and except for Spock, so they would respond better to Vina's appearance.
Oh, wait, so since this is an illusion, we don't even have a way to know that this is what was originally shown to Captain Pike. Like, everyone can have their own vision of what is actually happening.
That's a good point.
Like, yeah, whatever. It's tailored basically to what would be most convincing to them.
This might be what Kirk is seeing as opposed to what Spock is seeing, or what Captain No, I think Captain Pike would be seeing this.
Because this is what Captain Pike is seeing, yes.
Right, this is approximating his memory. But yeah, Kirk might be seeing something entirely different. That could be Yeoman Rand instead of Vina on the screen.
Or someone who looks surprisingly like Yeoman Rand. See, so she's not even seeing him for who he is.
That's her perfect man. She's seeing her idea of a perfect man, regardless of who it really is. They could have brought down a salt vampire, and she would have seen Pike or something like her perception of a perfect man.
What if the salt vampire was one that was accidentally captured by the Talosians? And they didn't know? Like, they thought, oh, well, I mean, it's human.
Well, one person's illusion power versus another person's illusion power. Conflicting illusion powers.
Oh, Lord. I don't understand why this security officer here continues to see Vera as a large pile of salt. I don't understand. Here we go with the Orion traitor bit.
Moral interpretude. It should not be allowed. I see musicians from the Star Wars galaxy have emigrated to the Milky Way.
Although I find it amusing that, you know, both series have a classic scene of, you know, slave girl dancing. But now he's in the place of Jabba the Hutt. So what does that say? That was a very long yes.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
could have gone up and for a potty break during that yes. And look on his face.
Yeah. And so the South had a problem with this, you say?
No, not with this. This is...
Oh, really?
Well, if there was a problem, they may have had a few letters. Put some clothing on that girl. And followed with handwritten notes from the husband saying, no, ignore this woman. She's delirious.
If you're from the South and you have an issue with this scene, you can reach us at lostpodcast@titanjail.com.
No, oh, that guy in the brown shirt on the he's still wearing a Starfleet uniform. So, you know, Pike has a Starfleet officer as one of his guests in this private life of running. See?
He's admitted. See? I'm right. I'm fucking right. Pike is an asshole. A slaving asshole. Now, she's very lovely as a green Orion girl, so we'll go with that.
Well, all right, as slaving assholes go, he is experiencing discomfort with the idea.
He's experiencing discomfort with the being caged idea, I think. Because he knows
it's one thing. No, it's one thing to tell the medical officer about leaving the service and becoming a traitor dealing in green Orion slave women. But it's another thing to be face to face with the actual reality of the situation. Welcome to Walmart.
Look, they're bringing phasers. You know who told them to bring phasers? That would be number one. God damn. I cannot believe this shit. I'm going to beam down to a goddamn planet and be bitch slapped around by a dude with an axe. And I come from a starship. God, no wonder he was canned.
Well, maybe because this is really reaching, and I will say that at the onset, maybe this was due to the Prime Directive, okay. And they were not allowed to bring advanced weapons down to the planet's surface. They did not realize that the situation was going to be
that's bullshit.
Bad. Said it was really reaching.
Yes. You want to know why it's really reaching? Because you can't reach that high. Bullshit.
Ah, more babes for the party.
Uh-huh. Oh, hey, she has some nice nail polish.
Good Lord. You really are observant.
Well, I mean, like, I really like how everything just pops with color. I kind of miss the color, you know?
Yeah. Color was very important to the original series. They even had the guy who was in charge of image quality. He took these episodes and he would watch them on a black and white screen just to see if how good the clarity of the picture would show on black and white TVs. Because there were still a lot of people out there, I'm holding up my hand, who initially watched these on black and white television.
Black and white television.
I never saw a color episode of Star Trek until it was in the reruns.
Oh, Jesus Christ, what was it? You think black and white is your ally? Well, you think color is your ally? I was born in the darkness. When I was but a lad, it was just black and white. I didn't see color until I was already a man, and by then it was a blinding. By the way, Batman Rising sucks. If you disagree, Brad, you can let me know why at lostpodcasttitan@gmail.com. Damn, I'm going to take Bane, I'm going to take Catwoman, and I'm going to take Talia al Ghul, or whatever the fuck her name was, and do zero zip zilch with her. I mean, God, fuck. Kiss my ass with a crippled-ass Batman who gets back surgery by an old dude punching him in the back. Fuck that movie. Fuck Nolan Ryan. Or whatever the fuck his name was. I don't know.
Nolan Ryan was a baseball player.
Same difference. About as skilled as a filmmaker, I think. Going to make fucking Interstellar and make the most powerful thing in the universe love. Fuck you. Anyway.
If we're going to go on tangents, I have to say that I liked the movie depiction of Bane better than the comic book depiction of Bane.
Okay, yes. All right, that's fine. I just didn't like how he was used, really. It makes zero sense.
And that's Christopher Nolan who directed those films. Christian Bale was Batman.
Ah. Also, why is the leader the one giving him food?
Curiosity. This is an important project. This is a major project. The leader wants to get personally involved.
Oh, wait. No, he's grabbing the phasers.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe they should have sent for a Talosian who was much more, had faster reflexes. One wonders what would have happened if Pike had dropped the phasers nearer the window than the wall.
Yes, okay, so like if they had telekinesis or something like that, they could have he could have easily just went like, you know, backhand.
Now, in the original pilot, they had dubbed the controller's part with a male voice. I'm just grateful that they kept Meg Wiley's voice for these reissues, because I think it gives the controller sort of a creepier aspect.
I understand what you're talking about now.
Yeah, let's let Pike fire the phaser at the Talosian's head and at number one, who is just behind the Talosian.
Exactly. And also, like, this could be an illusion, like, right here.
It could all be an illusion.
They're not leaving the cell.
There never really was a cell. They were standing in a space, and Pike and Vina could have walked as far as they have wanted. There was just the impression of being a cell keeping them in one particular area. Yeah. And again, Vina might not have been with Pike or was still at all, could have still been kept separate from Pike.
Yeah, they only need to really be together when, you know, the next generation needs to be dealt with. Yes, exactly. Yes. This is why Kirk is the captain.
Consider the zoo, though.
Golden cage is still a cage.
It was a very nice cage.
Oh, God.
Now, you agreed with me back when we were discussing the cage.
Yes, I'm aware.
Why the hell did Pike vote guilty?
Because, you know, he did steal the ship.
Ugh.
I mean, he stole the ship.
Bad Spock. Bad Spock. No donut. The next time you go into Pond Far, we're going to lock you up by yourself in your cabin and just occasionally broadcast image of naked Vulcan girls on the view screen.
Isn't that what they did with Tuvok and Voyager?
If they did, that was an episode that I missed.
I remember him going into Pond Far. I forget how they resolved it. I remember holograms were attempted, but were not good enough. So
I can imagine, yeah. Oh, so now the Talosians have paid their cable bill again.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in the galaxy, there's an ultimate streaming service that controls even illusions from telepathic races.
There's the intern, our favorite intern, shaking the flowers.
Actually, it looks like you guys aimed a little high.
Yeah.
Yes, but I still want to contact the ship.
Do I have to choose? Wider genetic pool.
Right. We set up a give me a calendar. We set up a schedule. Calendar time for Buddy. What proof would be acceptable? They could make him think anything.
Just humans?
Aww. Yes, but then we can get the illusion that she went back underground with the Talosian. No, I'm okay. I'm running.
Yeah, what would be the point of that?
I'm running in circles here.
Stop that.
It's illusion on illusion on illusion. There are so many fourth walls.
I don't think this counts as the fourth wall.
I wonder what a Talosian gets like when they have a headache. And there are no commercial interruptions. Who could they use? A race that is pliable enough to be ruled by the Talosians, would they have the wherewithal to face the rigors of space travel? Now, the only race that would possibly meet the Talosians' requirements, if we were once again in the Niven universe, would be the Puppeteers. And the only reason they're out in space is because they knew that the galactic core had exploded, and so they needed to abandon their area of the galaxy in order to survive. They had to become space travelers out of dire necessity.
I never really did like the Puppeteers, because it was the whole "we can't take any risks" period was just... it was taking too much of an extreme. Like, it made zero sense how they even survived as a species.
Because they also developed the power to deal for the most part with potential threats. Remember, at the time of the novel Ringworld, Nessus admits to Speaker to Animals that the puppeteers have been considering whether or not to eliminate the Kzinti. Yeah.
Pulse down.
You know, a Venus drug would really clear that up in a moment.
Yeah, we established the Venus drug didn't do that. It just made a woman more confident. Oh, wait, no,
that was a nice looking confident.
Call her Vina. Like, you'd be less of an asshole if you're like, well, this is Vina, instead of this female. I mean, I usually try and get away with that, and I get smacked for the effort.
They couldn't reach into her mind, and...
Well, if she didn't, because she was young, she might not have known. What bugs me is that, you know, they have at least one really qualified doctor in orbit. They could have been like, well, how do we fix this? And gone through it.
No, that's how she ended up when her ship crashed on the planet much earlier.
Right. And they put her back together incorrectly. What I'm saying is that they have a doctor above that they could scan his mind and be like, oh, we fucked up here, 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 and here. We'll just take her into surgery and, you know, fix it.
I wonder how close you have to be to one of the transporter pads before there's any kind of maybe leakage. And
I don't know.
It affects, because these people who stand really close to the transporter when people are beaming up and down, apparently those are really focused beams.
Well, I don't think the pads really matter, because you beam up and down from a planet all the time and there's no pad on the planet.
That's true. Speaking of people who with acting spent all that time in acting school, I went all through acting school and I get to stand by this chair in an outfit.
And he's in the convention circuit to this day.
Is he? I wonder if he's still alive.
I had seen some guest list and panels for some Star Trek conventions where I'm like, red shirt number 2 from episode 6, season 2.
He's 76 years old. He's still alive. So I guess now, does he have to show up in the electronic chair for people to recognize him?
No, I'm talking about the guy who was standing next to Captain Pike holding him.
Okay.
Where he answers such burning questions of what was in the metal binder he was carrying. Why was Captain Pike such an asshole?
Well, it's been said that once you have a role in a Star Trek episode, no matter how small, you're set for life. You'll always have an audience.
As long as it's, you know, a good episode. I don't think the fan fiction they had running lately is going to spawn too many convention circuits. God damn. Get angry still thinking about that shit. Yes, you could have. Burr sounds so relieved. Yeah. Oh God, yeah, you're right. It could. Or the conditioning could have been put in his thought, his mind. Because this makes no sense. Like, he stole a starship. It doesn't matter.
He just found Spock guilty not too long ago. Now he's agreeing.
That was the Talosian illusion who found Spock guilty.
Oh, okay. Think of what it would mean to be a lawyer with your planet in close proximity to Talos IV.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I do. No, you haven't.
Also, why are you pushing the chair? The chair is motorized. It's not logical.
We'll get them there faster.
Holy shit, that was quick. Wait, hold on.
Yeah,
I literally just got out of the room.
Even if the transporter room was next door.
Lord.
Which is a nice way of ending this. I like that line.
Okay. Can you stop? Why aren't you? All right, whatever. Stop streaming. There we go. All right, so what did you think?
I give it an A. Maybe even an A+. Yeah, I know. You don't like anything. So
I don't. It's true. I don't.
I applaud the way they used the footage from the cage to blend into the framing device that they brought up here. It couldn't have been easy.
They were like, the producers are probably threw this shit down and going, we spent X amount of money on this garbage. You are going to use it. Oh, Lord.
So if they hadn't bought the second pilot, we would have had to go through the same thing with the second pilot if they had given him a chance to make, if Roddenberry had been given a chance to make a third pilot.
Oh, that would have been funny. Roddenberry could have been like, I don't understand how this is happening. I keep making these pilots and they keep rejecting them, but they keep having me try again. I'm like, okay, all right.
They get a memo saying, bring back the scantily clad dancing girl and we'll consider
yes.
a series.
Yes, we're certain that the South will not have that many issues with the dancing Orion girl. Just a theory we have, you know. Oh Lord, but it was all right. B minus maybe.
B minus.
Oh, yeah,
you're rough.
What? Yes, I'm rough. I demand quality.
Just a B, you know, I don't think would have been too untoward.
Well, yeah, but we have Spock acting illogically.
Well, that's going to tear up an episode for you, then. We're really in trouble here.
Well, when you base your entire character on being logical, then yes. Yes, it will.
Well, he still has that... he has that fallback that he's half human, so that's an excuse.
Well, I mean, if it makes you feel better, the episode after next is an A+, so you know that would be Balance of Terror.
I'm waiting to see if you actually come up. There's got to be one thing about Balance of Terror you're going to complain about, and I'm going to be looking to
I'm certain there'll be something that'll annoy me, but that's part of the fun.
There's something about everything that annoys you.
Well, yes. I'm your son. This is how I am.
You've got me beat as far as annoyance and cynicism, though. I've created a monster. I appreciate the fact very much that you have your own viewpoints and such, and we have these arguments. But goodness gracious, it's like being Victor Frankenstein. Tellies the monster, did you really have to go out and strangle that little boy? Come on, all right,
yes. You have your heart. Yes, he was annoying.
All right, he was annoying. There are a lot of little children in the world. Are you going to strangle? Oh, shut up.
Too many. Get off lawn.
Oh, Lord.
The adventures of the retired Frankenstein's monster.
There was a series that didn't do too well on TV called Struck by Lightning. It's about a descendant of Dr. Frankenstein living in naturally in LA. And he has an inheritance, something, I forget how it came about, but he ends up inheriting the Frankenstein monster who was played by what's his name? He was a big one-eyed actor, very popular, but it was a comedy and it didn't last too long. But if they had gone with that approach, then maybe it would have lasted a bit longer.
Oh, well. Oh, so next we have The Conscience of the King, which I don't recall too much of, actually. So that's looking forward to that. I recall
not being too impressed with it in the beginning, but it has grown in my appreciation. And nowadays it's one of my favorite first season episodes.
Oh, well, okay. All right.
So watch out.
Watch out.
So mind your P's and Q's.
Mind my P's. I'll tear it to pieces.
Probably.
I'll tear it to pieces, burn it, and piss on the ashes.
If we really start doing commentary on a really bad series,
like Lost in Space?
Well, I was going to say first season of Star Trek The Next Generation, but...
There has to be some good episodes of that. Hold on. Let me do a quick look.
All right, go ahead.
Let me see. All right. So, because it's right here. Yeah, here we go. Star Trek Next Generation, season one. So, The Encounter at Far Points. No, Naked. No. Code of Honor. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I forgot about Code of Honor. Oh, no. I don't think we can do that one. Like, I seriously don't. I don't even think they can show that on TV anymore.
I think if we're going to do it, we're going to do it because.
I would like to put a disclaimer when we do that one. Like, yes, we know and we agree. That being said.
Before we run that particular episode, we can offer warnings in advance to the audience and say, contact us
at lostpodcastoftitan@gmail.com.
You want us to discuss something completely different while the episode is running.
Right.
So there'll be an excuse for commentary. Oh. But yeah, Code of Honor.
What were they fucking thinking? And the thing is, when they're talking about the commentary from the actors and the other people on that particular episode, they were all thinking, "What the fuck are we doing?"
Right.
But no one spoke up, so that's an actual okay. But anyway, so last episode, no. Justice had some good eye candy, but no. Oh wait, the battle. The battle was all right. That was the one where the Ferengi takes the Stargazer and, you know, tries to basically torture Picard.
Yuck.
You didn't like that one?
No.
I liked it. Let's see.
Ah, so the tables are turned now.
Oh, shut up. The big goodbye.
That I liked. That wasn't okay. Bad.
Let's see. Oh, also we have Data Lore, the first lore episode. So that was season one.
Eh.
No. Jesus Christ. No.
You could have helped the series.
Heart of Glory?
That's the one with the Klingons from the past return, and they've been suspended animation. They want to carry on the work of conquering all.
That's right. Yeah, and the episode ends with Worf having to pretend to be captain of the Enterprise, and and he has this perfect smirk when he sits down in the chair. It was glorious. Oh shit! Arsenal of Freedom. Arsenal of Freedom was awesome.
Fair.
That was the one that had the salesman that continually kept trying to sell them the shit that was killing them. Oh, what else we got? No, fuck that one. Skin of Evil. That was good.
Yeah.
I mean, we lost Tasha Yar. That's, you know.
Well.
You got to take what you can get. Let's see. We'll always have Paris. Conspiracy. She came from a failed colony, you know. The Neutral Zone. Okay,
Zone is the only one that I give a solid A to. And I was surprised you didn't make more of a comment about Conspiracy. That's the one with the alien bluegills.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I thought that was the cliffhanger.
No, that was not a cliffhanger. It should have been. I mean, it ended like a cliffhanger.
It did, yeah. So that's what, 3 episodes? 3 episodes. Okay.
See, 3 episodes out of a season of 26 episodes. Whereas if you look at Star Trek, the original series, there are much more season 1 episodes that I would prefer.
Well, that's fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay. Oh, hey, if we actually have the extra bandwidth this month, did you want to do another movie?
Yes. Have we said goodbye to our... Yeah, okay, so the audience is still...
Yeah, they're still here.
if you want to suggest a movie for us to try and review, that's lostpodcastoftitan@gmail.com. Otherwise, the decision will be in our hands, and you'll end up...
You wouldn't want that. So
faster pussycat kill, or killer shrew.
So I think... So try and keep it within the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So it's like the blending of generations, because that's the one I know that it'll hit both of us, because there's some that were in the 50s and 60s that I know that we both like War of the Worlds, but
Forbidden Planet.
Yeah. But let me see here. But yeah, we can discuss that offline. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I hope y'all have a wonderful time, and we will catch you next time.
Okay. Goodbye.